Jason Stahl is both the founder and the executive director of the College Football Players Association, and he had the, I'm just going to go air quotes, privilege of being on Capitol Hill a couple of days ago for the House of Representatives, I'm using their term here, Protecting College Athletes NIL Deal-Making Rights Symposium. I don't even know what it was, but it didn't seem like any of that, Jason, and I appreciate your time. It really seemed like it was the goal was the opposite of protecting the deal, the rights of them to make deals. Did I miss that?
Well,
you were there.
I think you hit on the Orwellian nature of the title, right? It was very much not about protecting athletes' deal-making rights. It was about creating, I mean, you had this sort of lobbyist, NCAA lobbyist talking points there at the center of things, breathing through different legislators, different representatives, through all, basically all the witnesses.
Right.
I shouldn't say that. Most of the witnesses. I think it was about anything but. If you're coming in to advocate for what? A piece of federal legislation to do what? To clamp down on a single free market of American citizens monetizing their name, image, and likeness rights. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not actually about protecting their deal-making rights. It's about constraining and reining in their deal-making rights, which they have only had for what? Like a year and a half now, right? Because the NCAA spent how many millions of legal fees before that making sure they didn't have the right that every other American has. So yeah, it was a frustrating title for sure.
Here's what's interesting to me. We're talking with Jason Stahl, who's the founder and executive director of the College Football Players Association. And I do want to talk to you about what your mission is with this association. Because I've been talking about this issue for a long time, going way back. I remember being appalled that I didn't even know this, that full cost of attendance wasn't part of the scholarship. When they were patting themselves on the back for now, we've included full cost of attendance. Full stop. You mean we weren't doing that before?
Mm-hmm.
So giving them what they deserved is now, that's just an aside. But what I don't understand is if they were going to have, even if we took the title, on his face of this, why wasn't the guest list? Why weren't the invitees different? Right? Because to me, the guest list was not even like they didn't have a sitting college football player. They couldn't find one college football player active and was willing to come.
Here's what's crazy. I mean, that's not, I don't want to impugn anybody on the guest list. I think that, this witness list would have made sense maybe if the hearing was framed a little bit differently, right? I think it would have made sense. But I think if you're going to organize it around this particular type of topic, you need a different witness list. Here's the crazy thing. You go back, you look at all the congressional hearings going back however far you want to look back in this century, okay? Not once, not a single time have you had a current Power Five football or men's basketball player.
Right.
Like, how mind-boggling is that, right? The two sports that everyone knows, these two sports make the whole enterprise go. Everyone knows it. Everyone knows that men's college basketball entirely underpins the entire budget of the NCAA.
Right.
And they can't even do these folks who generate their massive salaries, right? They can't even do them the favor of giving them a seat at the table at one of these congressional hearings to talk about, what is the life of a college football player actually like?
Right.
What is the life of Division I's men's basketball player actually like? Yeah, it's shameful. I mean, it really is. When it comes down to it, it's shameful.
Because we all know why they're seeking out congressional help. A lifeline, a whatever you want, a life raft, jacket, is because they don't want to be told what they have to do, what they have to allow. They want to put all, they call them guardrails.
Guardrails.
They don't need, there shouldn't be any guardrails, zero guardrails, not sensible guardrails. There should be zero, in my opinion. And let the, if we're talking about a free market, let the free market work for itself. Let me get to what you want for your your constituents, because I don't want to forget that.
Let me respond directly to that, because that's an important starting point for, like, what do we want? Okay, so I came in and I said the feds should not be intervening in here, but I wanted to have this more nuanced conversation, though, right? Of, okay, well, look, if we, let's say we need guardrails on this market, because I'll put it this way, like, do I like that there's people out there taking 30, 40, 50% fees for NIL deals, attorneys, whoever else? No, right. I don't like that.
Okay.
So I think licensing of attorneys, licensing of agents like the NFLPA does to protect players, those are important things that need to be done.
Okay.
Right? But those within the industry can handle this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just as they would in any other industry in America. Okay, if we need to have rules and we'll, we need to bring the labor to the table here to figure this out. Again, you look at the NFLPA model. That's really what we're pointing to here, right? Instead, what the NCAA is trying to do here is get the feds to write this bill on NIL. And boy, if they can do that, maybe we can ram in some other stuff down the line, right? Against employee classification, against,
right,
you know, getting an antitrust exemption, all of these things. So that sort of points the way to what we want, because we want reform. We know there's bad actors in this world, and we want to disempower those bad actors for sure. But the way to do it is not some ham-handed piece of federal legislation.
Yeah. By the way, they're never going to do that anyway. And they demonstrated during the hearing, and I've seen clips and I read enough about it. They demonstrated that they have no clue as to what the real issues were, but it was really cool that the representative from Georgia could put on his red jacket sitting next to the representative from Florida who went go Gators. It was completely comical. It's as though the Daily Show did it. Jason Stahl is the founder and executive director of the College Football Players Association. So there is a court case coming up about employee status for college football players, or college athletes.
You're talking about Johnson?
Yes. Where is your position as an advocate for college football players? Where is your position? Mm-hmm. How do you stand on the employee status for football players?
Okay, so as an organization, when I talk about because I have personal feelings about things,
right,
but I point to our platform for change. People can go go to our website, cfbpa.org, right? And you can click on the platform and you can kind of see what we're about. If you go to our platform, you'll see nowhere in that platform have our members and our leadership committee made a decision to talk about employment classification. Okay, now, that's not that we don't take interest in, for instance, the ongoing Johnson versus NCAA case or the NLRB administrative court hearings, right? Of course, we're watching those closely, because if it happens that shift is made, we have to be ready for that new reality and to make the transition to that new reality, right?
Mm-hmm.
The platform, though, does not reference, because our platform is grounded in how things are now and adjusting to where things might go in the future. I think one of the frustrations for me at the hearing is that employee status was often conflated with revenue sharing, and they're not the same. Okay, they're not the same, because I kept trying to talk about the media rights contracts, which I'm sure all your listeners know, everybody, but nobody, a lot of people there seem not to know. We've got many new billions of dollars coming into the system. Okay, the idea that we can't do revenue sharing through some sort of NIL deal directly from the conferences or directly from the CFP to the players, right? Like, of course we can do it. There's many new billions of dollars. So you know who's going to love it? Well, of course the players are going to love it. Fans are going to love it too. Because what if we, think of all the new billions that are going to come when the CFP expands from 14 to 12,
yeah,
right? Like, okay, you got all these new billions. What about a prize pool? What about a prize pool with NIL deals? because it's media rights. They're going to appear on the screen. We're using their name, image, and likeness
right
on the television screen. Let's figure out a way to share the new money. You guys continue to have all the old money, burn it up in whatever way you want. Mm-hmm. Let's think about the new money, though, and think about how we're going to divide it up among the players that make the tournament. Think how much fans would love that. It feels so similar to NIL, where for years and years and years, they fought and fought and fought and fought. And then at the last minute, these state laws pass, and they're like, okay, well, have at it. Oh, great, guys. Well, you know, you spent how much money here
right.
trying to, again, deny this specific group of Americans a basic economic freedom that is enjoyed by every other American. That's what they try to do. Let's be clear about it. And now they're trying to do the same thing, the courts. Brett Kavanaugh, of all people, right? I mean, just being like, guys, let's get it into gear here. Let's realize here that, you know, you've got to think about your industry in the same way that other American industries have to think about themselves. But it's just like they can't do it, right? It's the same playbook. What they need to do is end the paternalistic mindset
right.
towards college athletes. They need these Americans, they can vote. They can serve in the military. They can do all of the so you know what else they can do? They can sit down at the table and help figure out the new world that we're moving into. But no, they're so trapped in their paternalistic mindset that it's like they can't even imagine another way. They wouldn't want their own kids being treated that way. But it's okay as long as, you know, it's just operating from this playbook that they're used to.
All right, let me ask, and this might have to be our final question because we're running out of time here. Jason Stahl is the founder and executive director of the College Football Players Association. You can find their website at cfbpa.org. Why do you think that there are so many fans? And I understand why the administrators are against it, because they are looking at this as they're coming after our money. And I said this 10 years ago at a panel we did with a bunch of sitting ADs. They're clearly afraid that the players are directly going to get the monies that the universities feel like they are owed, which is a little bit gross. But I understand money is such an important factor for them. I get it. But why do you think so many fans think negatively towards NIL deals and collectives and all of that?
I mean, I do detect a shift among the fans. I think there is a way in which many fans are like, okay, well, this is the way things are going. I think the one thing, though, we want to separate the issue here, NIL, collectives, et cetera, from transfer portal. I think more of the angst from fans is going to be transfer portal, which is, of course, related to NIL.
Yeah.
It's related to collectives. And so now I put it this way. I said this to somebody yesterday. I sympathize with the fans. And because I'm not, you know, I know what it's like to root for a team. You want to root for those players. Maybe you want to see a guy recruited out of high school and then, oh, yeah, he finishes his time at that same school, your school, the school you went to, right?
Right.
Like, I get that. Okay, but the way to solve that problem is not to say, well, we got to go back to the past where we limit labor mobility among athletes. We limit their right to, make money as other Americans would make money. Instead, we can figure out a way, and I think it's opening up competition through revenue sharing from the media rights agreements directly from the conferences or the CFP that money flows into. Okay. So here's what I say, like, we need competition here. I'm not a socialist. This is not like I was the only one in that room. I felt like who wasn't like a planner or a socialist, right? Like, we need to open up this market to competition. We need the Big Ten to say, you know what we're going to do? We got all this new media rights money and we're going to pay our football players, whatever, X dollars for the fact that their name, image, and likeness appears on the TV screen. Well, let me tell you, players aren't going to be wanting to transfer out of the Big Ten.
Right. Or the SEC, right.
That,
yeah.
Okay, and then what's the SEC going to do? Oh, we're on this too. We're on this train too. Yeah. Right? That's what we need to happen. We need competition, I do believe, would actually diminish the movement of players around, and it would paying NIL payments directly from the media rights contracts through the conferences or through the CFP would disempower collectives too. Right? Because you wouldn't necessarily need the collectives in the same way you do now. The problem is that the administrative class in college athletics wants to have their cake and eat it too. They want third parties to pay their labor and not pay the labor themselves because they want to keep all this money themselves. You can't have it all, guys. You have to be willing to make concessions given this new world we're moving into.
Jason Stahl, we could talk about this forever. Founder and executive director of the College Football Players Association, CFBPA.org. I thank you very much for your time. We'll talk again soon, I hope.
Heck yeah, I appreciate the time.